Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
Every now and then, I feel as though I've woken up in a Rembrandt etching, a low tangled thicket of pen strokes from which a landscape emerges.
Commentator Verlin Klinkenborg.
It's not so much that the sky has taken on the tint of 17th century drawing paper, or that the world has lost its color. It has more to do with the balance of time. I wake up and nature seems to have paused in expectation. There's a numb overcast overhead, with little drift to it. Wood smoke slides down the roof and onto the road. The wild apples are waiting to fall. We are all inked in, caught in the moment. It's an appealing illusion. I imagine being the human in one of Rembrandt's landscapes, that small figure standing in front of what looks like a cross between a house and a haystack. He is resting from something. Perhaps he's even looking out from his garden at the artist working in the distance. It took no more ink to draw that figure than it would to write out a simple equation. And yet there's no mistaking his posture or the moment he's given himself to rest, though that moment has now lasted since 1645. That's how it felt this morning, as if time had simply stopped. A crow had paused in the pasture. I counted 15 mourning doves resting on a power line. The leaves that were going to fall had fallen, and the oaks were not about to relinquish theirs. The weather seemed to be waiting somewhere off to the west. A flight of birds stirred from the branches and then settled back almost immediately. I heard what sounded like a small dog barking in the distance and realized it was a flock of geese beyond the tree line. They never came into view. Before long, the breeze will stir and rain will begin to fall. The silent anticipation hidden in such a quiet morning will be forgotten. The cry of a red-tailed hawk will unsettle the mourning doves, and one by one those wild apples will become windfall. And as the weather changes and the clock resumes its ticking, I'll have to free myself from the artist's ink before it dries completely, step outside, and walk over the hill toward the sound of those distant geese.
Verlin Klinkenborg lives on a small farm in New York State. He writes editorials for the New York Times. On the next Living on Earth, 20 years later, a Cold War no man's land is flourishing.
This space used to be totally barren sand with weed killers. And now nature has reclaimed this space, and what their experiment is to cooperate with nature.
Where the Berlin Wall once stood, there's now life, art, and music, thanks to squatters. That's next time on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Bolinsky, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Jesse Martin, Helen Palmer, Jessica Elise Smith, Ike Sriskanjaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins, Marilyn Gavoni, and Sammy Souza. Thanks this week to WGCU Public Media in Fort Myers, Florida.
Our interns are Quincy Campbell and Nirja Parekh. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Steve Kerwood.
And I'm Jeff Young. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, and the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues, the Rockefeller Foundation and its campaign for American workers. More at rockfound.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.